Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Namami. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaurvani Pachayami Yudhisthira Sunyavadi Askarya Vishitayami. So today we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 5, Text 33. And that yesterday, today, and tomorrow, we're reading a little section of a discussion between two very perfect living beings. So when we read or hear something that is a connection between two very, very exalted souls, then it stands in our interest to try to extract something of value for ourselves. As I was mentioning yesterday also, the Bhagavatam should be read in context so that you know, oh, this is the story and this is a conversation. That means that if one is a serious reader of the Bhagavatam, it's always advisable to read a little beforehand. I know you all have busy lives and children and so many other responsibilities, but to get the feeling of what is actually taking place really enhances your experience in the morning. So text 33. Amayo yascha bhutanam jayate yena suvrata tad eva hya amayam dravyam na punati chikshititam. Amayo yasta cha bhutanam jayate yena suvrata tad eva hyamayam aptam eva hyamayam dravyam na punati chikitsitam amayo yascha bhutanam jayate yena suvrata tad eva hyamayam dravyam na punati chikitsitam. Amaya.
Amaya.
Diseases.
Diseases.
Yacha. Whatever.
Whatever.
Bhutanam.
Bhutanam.
Of the living being.
Of the living beings.
Jayate.
Jayate.
Become possible.
Become possible.
Yena.
Yena.
By the agency.
By the agency.
Suvrata.
Suvrata.
O good soul.
O good soul.
Tat.
That.
That.
Eva.
Eva.
Very.
Very.
He.
He.
Certainly.
Certainly. Amayam.
Amayam.
Disease.
Disease.
Dravyam.
Dravyam.
Thing.
Thing.
Na.
Na.
Does it not?
Does it not?
Punati.
Punati.
Cure.
Cure.
Chikitsitam.
Chikitsitam.
Treated with.
Treated.
Translation. O good soul, does not a thing applied therapeutically cure a disease which was caused by that very same thing? Please repeat. O good soul,
does not a thing
applied therapeutically
cure a disease
which was caused by that very same thing?
Which was caused by the very same thing.
So we'll go through this a little bit and then we'll continue with the purport. So Amaya means disease. Bhutanam means of the living beings. The disease of the living beings. Jayate, we usually say victory, jayate. But here, Srila Vyasadeva has used this word to mean it's possible. Tad eva hyam mayam dravyam. This same, certainly the same disease, amayo, amayam. You see the word twice. This thing, this very thing, which has caused the disease, na punati, does it not cure the disease if it is chikitsitam? Chikitsitam means treated with. And in the previous verse, we saw this word chikitsitam also used. It was used to and defined as the remedial measure. The tapa traya, three kinds of miseries, chikitsitam, the remedial measure. So now an example is being given of what is a remedy for miseries. I think first I'll read a little sections of the purport and then speak a little bit about them. So the first Srila Prabhupada mentions is an expert physician treats his patient with a therapeutic diet. For example, milk preparations sometimes cause disorder of the bowels, but the very same milk converted into yogurt, so it's milk with a conversion, plus, there's a plus. Now I want you to think, what is the plus? Because he says, the very same milk converted into yogurt and mixed with some other remedial ingredients. So it's the milk made into yogurt, but it's mixed with something. And it cures such disorders. So this is the diet. Srila Prabhupada says, now here's a secret for us. Similarly, the threefold miseries of material existence cannot be mitigated simply by material activities. Such activities have to be spiritualized. Just as by fire, iron is made red hot, and thereby the action of fire begins. So this is an example that is used many, many times by Srila Prabhupada and others to give as a picture of what is taking place. You take a fire, you lit a fire over here, and you take an iron rod, you look at the two things, they're totally different. Yeah? How much different are they? Very different. Yes, one is strong and solid and cold, and the other one is mercurial and has a mystical kind of presence, because you can't capture fire, it's always moving in different directions. So if you compare the two, there's no comparison. Yet if you take that iron and you put it into the fire and you leave it in the fire long enough, it starts to glow red. Has everyone seen this? I think it's a very common, you can see it with wood also, but especially with iron. You put it in, it glows red. And then if you take that iron rod, still an iron rod, but if you take that iron rod and you touch someone's hand, oh, it will cause a great burn to occur. Because the iron has taken on the company, the connectivity with the fire, and it's become fire-like. And Srila Prabhupada says sometimes, to all extents and purposes, it acts like fire. Just like where I come from in Perth, Western Australia, we have a lot of times of the year where there's a big fire ban, also in Victoria. And just one touch of that iron rod to the grass could create a huge forest fire. In the same way as one match thrown into the grass could do the same thing. So Srila Prabhupada is saying that such activities, our actions through the day and so forth, have to be spiritualized. Similarly, the material conception of a thing is at once changed as soon as it is put into the service of the Lord. This, Prabhupada says, is the secret of spiritual success. Now that's very profound. This is the secret of spiritual success. The material conception of the thing has to be changed, not the thing. In the early days when we were very young, and many young people were joining the Hare Krishna movement, oftentimes somebody would come, and they would come in a relationship. And once they started to chant Hare Krishna, and they started to become serious, they found that their partner, their friend, was not interested in the same thing. And perhaps the relationship they shared previously now became very tedious. And sometimes they separated. But sometimes, I remember in particularly one case, where one man wrote a letter to Srila Prabhupada, one young devotee, and said, "Prabhupada, I'm understanding, like you say in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that household life is full of trouble and misery. And so I'm thinking that I should renounce my family and take sannyas." And Srila Prabhupada's response was so strong, and he was saying, "This is nonsense. You can't renounce your family like that and take sannyas just because they're troublesome. You have to take on the responsibility that you have created for yourself." So the concept of the family, and sometimes it is true, is very material. There's nothing happening there except material activities. But the concept has to change, not that you change the family. And as the concept changes, as your concept changes first, and you start seeing, actually, this husband, this wife, these children, they all belong to Krishna. They're not mine. I may be getting pleasure from them. And when I get pleasure from my circumstances, automatically the other thing that happens is I get very worried. What if I lose this? What if my child doesn't grow up the way I want? What if this happens? What if this happens? What if that happens? And the mind starts to create pictures of possibilities of what could occur that you wouldn't like. And it's very strange because the materialistic mind is most against the idea that we and everything else belongs to Krishna. This is the material mind wishes to avoid foremost. And if you don't believe it, go and walk in the city and have a look what people are doing. And if you were to stop anyone on the street and say, "Excuse me, do you know that this city, this Melbourne city, and all the things in the shops and everything that you're engaged in thinking about, it all belongs to the supreme controller and master of everything?" And they would push you aside to keep going with their lives because their material minds are very strong. And for us, as devotees, we struggle with the material mind. And the material mind means that we see things in this context. This is mine, this is theirs, this is his, he did this, she did this, and so forth. And that's what life is more or less made of. But when we come to the point of stepping into the spiritual boat, we're offered the opportunity to see things very differently. And the secret of spiritual success is being given to us here. Srila Prabhupada continues very nicely, so please listen. "We should not try to lord it over material nature." Now that's a term we use often, You're lording it over me. You're lording it over. What does it mean? You know, when you live in a community of like-minded people, it's wonderful because you can speak the same concepts. But like everything in this world, there's also a disadvantage. And the disadvantage is that you start speaking in a kind of a language code. And you say, you know, you're lording it over me and this, that. And use these terms to mean whatever you, when you choose to use them. But the meaning of what you're saying becomes lost. This is common to any community or any culture. So then it's very helpful to stop sometimes and think, what am I saying? What do I mean? What am I thinking? And to refresh your understanding of what you're doing, saying, and thinking. You don't change, but you refresh it. And that refreshing is refreshing. Just like we get up in the morning and we take a bath or shower. We don't have to. There's lots of people who don't. And they go about their day. I remember when I was growing up, my brother used to take a bath once a week. And he was very comfortable with that. And if you had suggested more than that, he would have been horrified. So not everyone refreshes themselves with a shower. Some people refresh themselves with whatever they choose. But when you live in a community where you're speaking and you're dealing all the time with devotees, this refreshing is very important. You re-look at the devotees and you say, wow, these people are very special. They've come here today. That's very special. Just like for me, yesterday I went to the city, and I live in Perth, and everything's very small, simple, and quiet there. But you go down to Melbourne City, and there's a pace of the people, and a passion of the people. So as soon as I stepped out of the car, and the sophistication of the material arrangement, I felt it. Whoa! This is something different. And when I walked in the temple room today, I felt it. Whoa, this is something different. Because there was so much vitality and energy in here. But we sometimes walk in the temple every day, every day, every day. We go Hare Krishna, we chant, we do everything, and we forget to notice how vibrant it is when a community of people together are serving. So we don't change the service, we refresh our own faculties, and look again. Look what I have. How fortunate. We should not try to lord it over material. Nature means control. I want to control my situation. Nor should we reject material things. Two extremes. I wish to control everything. I don't want it anymore. It's just too troublesome. Neither of those are recommended. The best way is to make the best use of a bad bargain. Now that's a wonderful saying, the best use of a bad bargain, because it really conveys the whole picture. We're going to do the best we can with it, but it's not great. Being here in the material world, in a material body, with a material mind, it's not great actually. It's tough in many, many ways. But we're going to do the best we can with what we have. And to do that, we use everything in relationship with the Supreme Spiritual Being. Now, Srila Prabhupada is going to explain why this works and what is the result of this. And this is really, really important. Again, I'm encouraging you, hear this as if it's the first time you've ever heard it. You have no idea what's coming in the Bhagavatam. Don't hear it from the old ears that say, I've heard this before and I already know this. But hear it through fresh, new ears and you'll benefit and become happy. Everything is an emanation from the Supreme Spirit. Everything is coming from the Supreme Spirit. That means all the downtown city here and all the devotees here in the temple, everything is coming from an emanation of the Supreme Spirit. And by his inconceivable power, he can convert spirit into matter. That's what you see when you go downtown. And he can convert matter into spirit. And that's what you see when the devotees are chanting together. Therefore, a material thing, so-called, is at once turned into a spiritual force by the great will of the Lord. By the great will of the Lord. The necessary condition for such a change, and this is another secret, same secret, but this is very important, because each one of us, when we walk out of here today, we carry this with us, and we carry this with us, and we have another day's opportunity to apply this, to see if we can do something with this information. The necessary condition for such a change is to employ so-called matter in the service of spirit. Matter in the service of the spirit. That is the way to treat our material disease and to elevate ourselves to the spiritual plane. If we are elevated to the spiritual plane, what happens? There is no misery, no lamentation, and no fear. When everything is thus employed in the service of the Lord, individually, that means us, and collectively, we can experience. Experience is different than hearing. Experience is different than memorizing. Experience is very different. Let me give you an example. I could tell you all that when you put a pin, you prick it into your finger, it really hurts. Or I could be very cruel and bring one child up here and I would put the pin on their finger and they would go, ow! Now, that child would have an experience and you would all be watching. So you would have a different kind of experience. But they would have a real experience of that. We want to experience Krishna consciousness as powerfully as we would feel that pinprick in our finger. That means at that time we're alive, spiritually awake. When everything is thus employed in the service of the Lord, we can experience that there is nothing except the Supreme Brahman. There is nothing but spirit. The Vedic mantra that everything is Brahman, what is that mantra? Does anyone know? Everything is Brahman.
Om Brahmasmi.
That means I'm Brahman.
Sarvam Khalu Idam Brahman. Sarvam Khalu Idam Brahman.
Thank you. Sarvam Khalu Idam Brahman. The Vedic mantra that everything is Brahman is that is thus realized by us. Imagine if you could go, this is what I was thinking when I woke up this morning. Imagine if I had gone down to the city, or you go to work, or you go back to your family, you go back on with your day. Imagine if you could sit in a seat of calmness, recognizing everything around you to be simply Krishna and Krishna's energy. And you were so calmly recognizing this that you could interact with everything without losing that perception. I think any of us would say that would be amazing. I certainly think it would be amazing. I certainly cannot do it. But this is what we're aiming towards. And this is why we jump up and down in kirtan and we bring our children here and we worship the beautiful deities of Shishu Gaunachai, Jagannath Subhadra and Balaram and Radhabalava. Because by worshipping them, seeing them, we're trying to awaken our spiritual eyes. And the other thing that's very important is that when we feel like I can't do it, and perhaps any of us would feel like that. I can't do that. That's just way beyond me. What should we do? I think that's a valid question. What should we do? We know, yes, I should take my medicine. I know what my medicine is. I should take my medicine. But what else should I do? Does anyone have an answer for that? We've got some wise elders here. What should we do when we can't do it?
We must try our best.
What's that?
We must try our best.
We must try our best. We still can't do it. What should we do?
And we have to persevere.
There was two times yesterday we heard something that gives us a clue. It said that we should dedicate our activities to the... We should therefore dedicate our attempts to the mercy of the Lord. We should dedicate our attempts to the mercy of the Lord for ultimate success, or to get rid of the obstacles on the path of success. So it's not even only dedicating to Radha Vallabha, I bring some offering and give to you. It's I'm dedicating myself to your mercy. It's a much more wonderful concept, even than simply making an exchange. In the old Bengali culture around the time of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it was the custom that if somebody visited a senior Vaishnava, the habit of the senior Vaishnava was such, this is written in the book of Narahari Chakravarti and others, that they would take that young man, young child, or even a new person in their lives, and they would take them in front of their deities, and they would offer them to their deities. And in this way, they would evoke the mercy and kindness of their deities. And we read in the story of the life of Srinivasacharya, who was very, very anxious because he appeared just after Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had disappeared from this planet. And he was on his way to see him in Jagannath Puri when he heard this devastating news. And when he heard that Lord Chaitanya was no longer physically present, he didn't know what to do. And he went into a state of deep sadness and depression. He was weeping and crying, and people didn't know how to help him because he was just so totally overwhelmed. And then he had a dream. And in that dream, he received the mercy of somebody else who told him, keep going, go and see, go to Jagannath Puri. When he got to Jagannath Puri, Lord Chaitanya had gone, other Vaishnavas had gone, and everyone there was overwhelmed in separation. And he went from person to person to person, and each place he went, he just felt this deep, deep sadness. And everyone offered him to their deity. Because you see, human life in this world, it's always changing, it's changeable. Prabhupada talks about the unseen hand of the Lord. And so we stay here for some time, but at some point we will all have to leave this stage. But we should meditate on the fact that long after all of us are no longer sitting in the Melbourne temple, Radha Vallabha will remain. New people will have come and accepted the Seva, and Radha Vallabha will be continuing to bless. So when we have fear or worry, especially when we have children, we're thinking, oh, I hope they'll be all right. Oh, I hope this, I hope that. And we feel like we just want to take care of them forever. But when we fear and worry that we will not be here, or they will not be here, or something may go amiss in the far distant future that we know nothing about, because this is a habit, then we have to say, let me dedicate them to the service, to the mercy of Radha Vallabha. And by doing that, by giving the things that you love most into the service of the deities, it's not like you would think the material mind will say, oh, that sounds very cold, you know, just giving me up. But the answer is no, no. It's quite the opposite. Now what I'm doing is I'm placing you in your actual position, which is one of being accepted as part of Krishna's, part of Krishna, part of Radha-Balada themselves, their eternal servant. And now as I take care of you, or as I serve in this circumstance, I increase my respect, I increase my appreciation. Because if something's mine, like we see these two boys here, they have books, right? And each one has their own book. And they may take care of it in certain ways. I see this book here is very well written in, and all the pages are curled on the corners. That maybe because of hard work of writing so many notes from so many classes. And this looks like a newer book. Oh, and drawings are in there as well. And the book pages are separated from the cover. So that's my book, you can say. I separate breaks, it's okay, it's mine. But a really good person, if they think, this is not mine, this belongs to Radha-Balabha, then how much more carefully they will take care of it. And if we see in ourselves that we don't have that habit to take care of Radha-Balabha's things very nicely, then we can improve that habit. And as we improve, then all around us we will see improvement. So I have one last point, and that is, O great soul, does not a thing applied therapeutically cure a disease which was caused by the very same thing? Prabhupada says that the very same milk converted into curd and mixed with some other remedial ingredients cures the disorder. In this analogy, what are the remedial ingredients? Do you understand my question? We have milk, that's material activities, and we turn them into curd, which means spiritual activities, and it cures the illness that we had when we were drinking the milk. What are the other therapeutic ingredients that act to make that successful? Mercy, yes. Anything else? Association of devotees helps, yes. Prasadam, yes. Certainly.
Patience.
Sorry?
Patience.
Patience. It's very nice. Good qualities. So patience is a quality, it's a virtue. And it's certainly a very a valuable virtue, patience, because that means that I'm not going to give up if it doesn't happen overnight, and I'm not going to get really frustrated if I don't get results immediately. So patience, what else?
Listening to Srimad Bhagavatam.
Very nice, thank you. Listening to Srimad Bhagavatam. So all of those were very important ingredients. And the listening is what we're going to hear about more and more in the Bhagavatam, the effects of listening to the Bhagavatam. As we make our medicine, our yogurt drink, to cure our milk disease, the hearing from about Krishna is so important. I often think to myself, at the time of death, it's a little bit like, this is a simple example, that you, when somebody has to get in the elevator, and so everyone's standing, and they're all standing together, and then one person has to get in the elevator. And when they get in the elevator, after that you don't know what happens. So the person standing who's about to get in the elevator He may not know what's going to happen. And certainly the people standing around also may not know what's going to happen when those elevator doors close. And so there's a high degree of fear which surrounds the concept of death or dying. For anyone, this is of course not for brave soldiers and realized saints, but for anyone in the middle range, it's very frightening. So by hearing about Krishna as a family, as a person, as a community, you have a concept of where that elevator goes. So that when it's time to step into the elevator, instead of being afraid of the uncertainty of your destination, you step into the elevator without that kind of fear. I remember hearing a story from one devotee in Hong Kong who was from a very pious Indian family, and he had a grandmother who was very, very, very spiritually religious. And it came one day, she told the family, she was very elderly, she said, lay a piece of white cloth on the floor. And then she lay down on the piece of cloth because she understood it was time for her to leave. And she was chanting because she was very specially advanced. And this boy, he was just a boy then, now he's an older man, he said he was there. And he started to cry. And his grandmother said, take him to the other room. Otherwise, I will not be able to concentrate on what I have to do right now. So he always remembered that. So this is how we have to deal with our family, with the utmost love, care, and respect. And at the same time, we must practice in our lives to put Krishna first for you and for them. And it's not easy. We all know this. It's not that it's an easy thing to do. But the more that we do that, the more we'll find the solution to all our problems. Especially with a little patience. Thank you. Does anyone have any questions? Yes.
What is the easiest way to control the mind?
What is this boy? He's got very good questions. Yesterday we got a good question as well. What is the easiest way to control the mind? Well, there are official answers to that question. Like, you should chant, you should do this, you should do that, so on. But sometimes the mind is so restless that even if you're chanting, even if you're reading, even if you're serving, the mind is still running wildly everywhere. Am I the only one that has that problem? So one thing I've noticed that's very helpful for me to control the mind is to kind of like... make friends with the mind. There are three ways you can treat the mind. You can beat the mind with a broomstick. You've heard about that. That's the very strong approach that I'm not going to listen to this. I'm just going to boom, like that. And there's another way where you can offer prayers on behalf of the mind. And another one is you make friends with the mind. When you make friends with the mind, you treat the mind like it's your brother. Now, you do have a brother, no, but there's two Krishnas here, you're almost like brothers. So when you're dealing with a brother, you don't necessarily beat them up when they're not doing what you say, but you act with a little kindness as well. And that kindness is very important, because the mind is going to resist in every situation. And if you take it as a front-on fight, you're going to be fighting a great deal of the time. So if somebody's your friend, like I watch the boys sitting here sometimes and they're friends, they exchange things, they give each other advice, They sometimes poke each other in the back if one's falling asleep, but they don't beat them on the head with a broom. They act a little differently. So at least for me, I found that making your mind your friend means you give a good advice, and when the mind isn't willing to follow that good advice, you try again to encourage the mind towards the path. And you know, if your mind is your friend, do you know what that means? Do you know what that means? That means there's two of you. And mostly we think there's one of me, but actually there's two of me. There's me and my mind. So that means that if my mind is not committing to being friendly, I go on with my activities anyway. And then, when my mind is willing to cooperate, then we work together. So, making the mind the friend means separating myself from the mind and understanding that this is a faculty and is not working quite right now. And then working out how to engage the mind, re-engage the mind somehow in something that's meant for my benefit and pleasure. And that can take many forms, but that's just a simple point. Does that help? Okay. Alright, so if we have no more questions, we can complete here. Thank you. Hare Krishna.